Another edition of Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. And this week we're going to talk about the Colorado Avalanche and the Columbus Blue Jackets prospects. But first we're going to start with Colorado. We're always happy to bring on a great guest of ours, Craig Billington, the assistant GM of the Avalanche. And Biller, thanks for coming on the show. We always appreciate it.
Sure.
Sure. That's what we get out of you.
After always a couple, good, always good to chat, talk hockey.
Well, what are we gonna do?
Especially after the deadline, then I can't give out any secrets.
No, oh, yeah, well, let's see. That's why we're trying to get you on beforehand. Maybe like you slide something to us, but I didn't think you would. So, but
yeah, well, because I wouldn't know.
They leave you in the dark.
Yeah.
So, Biller, we want to talk about you guys. Have a whole host of prospects that we're really interested in getting your opinion on how they've developed. And the first guy is a player that Russ and I talked about quite a bit last year in his draft year. And Russ knows he's a guy that I was really high on, and I had him in my first round, was Chris Bigger out of Owen Sound. And he's one of those guys that, you know, he's not flashy, but he's just he always takes care of business in his own end, makes smart passes. He's just one of those quiet, safe, intelligent players. His game in terms of style reminds me a lot of Mark Edward Vlasic, where you may not notice him in the end of the game, during the game, but at the end he may have like a couple assists, a plus two, and it has completely negated any scoring chances from the top opposition players. And how happy have you guys been with his progress this year?
We've been really happy. He's a very intelligent player, and of course, quick to move the puck. And in the game we see now in the NHL, how that transition is so fast. His ability to process the play is excellent, and you can play him in all situations. Like you said, you be comfortable putting him on the power play. You're comfortable when he defends down low, and certainly in 5-on-5, and his transition game is extremely strong.
Yeah, in a defense-rich draft, I had him ranked about the eighth best defenseman in that draft, and I always liked the versatility that he has. He seemed to be a guy that could play a lot of different roles, and it seemed like in a lot of different tournaments with all these different coaches, he did just that, and he always performed well.
Yeah, and like I said, he got a little bit of taste at the World Junior Tournament this year and some exposure there. And, of course, in the Owen Sound program, they do a good job in the coaching and development. We've been really happy with everything we've seen out of him. He had a really strong camp for us, and in terms of defense, they're, you know, difficult they are to come by, and to have someone that's got the mobility and skating is one thing, but to have the processing mentally is critical as well.
Biller, when you look at his offensive numbers in junior, they don't jump out at you, but is he one of those players where his points will actually translate into the NHL because how he moves the puck and how smart he is on the ice? Because there's a lot of guys who can have an incredible amount of numbers in the junior or the college ranks, but they just it doesn't work or it won't translate into the pros. Is Bigger a guy who may get, you know, 30 points or 35 points in junior, but then turn around and get 30 or 35 points in the NHL?
Yeah, I think you hit right on it. When you look at it, you think, oh, the way he plays and his mobility and hockey sense, you'd expect more points. I think he is one of those few players that you're going to see some similar production numbers at the NHL level when he gets there, simply because, to your point, he's not putting up 60, 70 points in junior. I don't see him doing those type of numbers, but I do see, because of his puck play and transition and ahead for the game, I see him being fairly consistent in his point production and being a very versatile player at the NHL level.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're speaking with Craig Billington, assistant GM of the Colorado Avalanche, about some of the prospects in their system. And, Biller, we're going to go to one of your goaltenders in Spencer Martin, who you got in the third round last year in the draft playing for Mississauga. And, you know, as a former goaltender, what are your thoughts on how Spencer's developed? This is a team that, you know, doesn't produce a lot of goals, and he has to face, you know, a lot of shots. And how has he progressed this season, playing a lot of games?
Yeah, he obviously plays a volume of hockey and sees a volume of shots. You know, his team's competing, battling, trying to get into that playoff spot with a few other teams right now. But certainly the amount of ice time he's seeing and the amount of pucks. I mean, there's an argument out there that says you want to develop a goalie, you know, put him on the worst team and see a lot of rubber. One of my present bosses here, obviously Patrick, had a lot of that when he played junior. I'm not suggesting Spencer's Patrick, but what I am saying is in terms of developing a goalie, there is that battling through scenarios and being faced with such a high volume. The one thing you got to watch is confidence and maintaining that confidence level and not starting to guess or second-guess yourself. I think Spencer's done a good job of maintaining that and continuing to battle through each game.
Yeah, I like his post-to-post speed, how he squares up to the shooter. And, yeah, he's definitely a workhorse. And his recovery speed seems to be getting better every year, too.
Mm-hmm. And that takes time, right? When we're talking about goalies and development, they seem to trend a little bit behind the curve but in terms of overall development. But certainly with Spencer, I think he's trending right where we expect him to be and continue to be a significant part of that Mississauga team and giving them itself at least a chance to win on most nights when he's seeing a volume of rubber.
Now, Bill, when you're looking at goaltenders in general coming out of junior now with all the elite-level goalie schools and an emphasis on developing goalies, have you seen the trend of the development cycle quicker than it has been, say, in the previous 10 years where goaltenders are actually starting to come through the system and being able to play at a pro level more effectively? Or is it just, even with the extra coaching, it's still a slow process?
I think you can see some of the physical or fundamental pieces being evolved quicker. I still think the mental part is a work in progress, and it just takes some time. Let's face it, the goalie's the most influential player on the ice on any given night, and the pressures that they deal and cope with or are able to discard and continue to perform on some that are learned through the doing and the trial and error of it. So the reality, that maturation process for the goalie, maybe on the fundamental side we're seeing advancement. I still think the mental side is something that's taking its time.
Yeah, speaking of the mental side, just to show the difference, I guess, in personalities for goalie, you talked about Patrick Waugh and then there's yourself, and you guys were probably on different ends of the spectrum too, just in the way you thought about the game, and Patrick was maybe more volatile than you were. So I guess everybody's got to have their own little thing that way too.
Yeah, I don't even think you'd probably put Pat and myself in the same sentence, to be fair. I was tossing water bottles and he was stopping pucks. So at the end of the day, he had such a gift mentally that allowed him to perform at the level he did. And when you see these great goalies, it's really the defining moment, I believe, is their mental capabilities and how they distinguish themselves between the rest. And to be able to do it consistently over time is quite an accomplishment.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're speaking with Craig Billiton, Assistant General Manager of the Colorado Avalanche, talking about some of their prospects in their system. And Greg, I want to talk about a defenseman out west that you guys took in the fourth round, big, rugged, nasty defenseman in Mason Gertsen, who I get a chance to see quite a bit out in Vancouver.
Yeah.
A guy who came over from the Oil Kings and got a real great opportunity to play a lot of minutes in a lot of situations under Don Hay with the Vancouver Giants. And how happy have you guys been with his progress of, in many ways, because they got rid of a lot of veteran defensemen. He got thrown into the fire playing against some tough competition out west. And I just like he's an honest, meat, potatoes, rugged defensive defenseman.
Yeah, who skates well. I mean, and those guys are hard to come by. So the mere fact that he's seen a lot of minutes in Vancouver under good coaching, he's got a great attitude. He's everything that you see out there. And I think his improvement has been very steady and in a good shape in terms of the curve or development curve you're looking for. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with his attitude. He doesn't think he's got it all figured out. He's trying to be better. And certainly with the game that's played today with pace and speed, his ability to skate and mobility is going to be really important to how well he does. And like I said, he's working on things to develop his game, keeping them simple. but at the same time, plenty capable of making good passes and supporting the rush. So we've been pleased with him.
So is this the sort of the new look now for defensive defensemen in the NHL? We used to look at guys, and they were guys back in the day, and if they had that role, they usually weren't great skaters. They were usually great hitters. And now it seems like even in that role, you still have to be a really good skater. And then if you hit, great, but now skating's more important.
Yeah, because when you you look at the speed which the game's played at now, it's just so fast, and I don't think it's going to slow down. Coaches are preaching speed, transition, up-tempo. These are all the catchwords we're hearing. Mm-hmm. So in order to defend that, especially when we don't have the holdups of what we had, let's say, in the eras I played in,
right,
or the ability for D to do things a little differently, that skating, there's more priority on it and an importance in order to keep up with that play and to be able to defend. You can have the toughest guy in the world, but he's got to be able to be mobile and agile enough to be in the right place to be effective. And that's why I think when you look at defensemen, forwards as well, but when you look at D, they've got to have a good, strong base skating. And I think Gertz does a good job with that. He'll continue to improve upon it. But I know coming out of camp, it was something that was recognized, and the scouts did a good job recognizing it for the draft.
Bill, when you look at a guy like Mason and defensemen like his style, do you think it's more important in terms of the mobility is that transition from forward going backwards or vice versa, and then it's that 2 and 3 step quickness just to be able to close gaps, whether it's versus the rush or to get onto a player when you're playing down low below the circles, then basically straight out speed?
Yeah, I think some of it's physical, and I think that'll come. I think mental is the point where the amateur transition to pro is really challenged. You got to process it. You've got to be able to read and react to it and get yourself in that position. And the body can't do it before, you know, the brain sends the message. So the sooner the brain can send the message and read it, the quicker you can look. And that's where you'll see some guys get away with having just okay, maybe skating and mobility, but their brains are so fast. And I think it's a situation with most amateurs when you're looking at them. If they are a better skater, terrific. And then now let's work on the mental recognition of the game and help them adapt so they're making those decisions earlier as well.
A couple more minutes before we just head off to break, but we want to have a little bit of a conversation about Nathan MacKinnon, although we don't even consider him really a prospect anymore because he's a bona fide NHL player. Were you guys surprised at all as how quickly he's made that transition into the NHL, not necessarily with the offensive numbers, but how well he's adapted to the speed and tempo and his responsibilities defensively, especially being a rookie and having to play in the middle of the ice?
Well, I think, you know, obviously the scouting staff saw him a lot. Patrick saw him a lot, so they know the skill sets and attributes he brings. He's a Maritimer, very humble, just all the good. He's just a good quality person. So you never know how fast it's going to take a guy to adapt. You know, especially how young he is, or how young any of these players can be. At the same time, he's certainly done a good job getting better as the season's gone on. I think there was a, you know, eye opening at the beginning to feel himself out and see what the NHL's like. But certainly, you can see how his confidence has grown as the season's gone on. It's become a real effective player for us.
Yeah, I think you're being nice, but I think it's more than even just being effective. I think he is sort of something a little more special than that. Like, I got to see him here in Philly, and I saw a play where he saw that the defenseman was playing off him a little bit and saw a little bit of gap in the goalie, and he ends up banking the puck off the goalie's skate, and you generally don't see rookies doing things like that.
Well, and when you look at his finish last year, the Memorial Cup is a great stage. It's what those players play for, and don't know if you were able to watch any of it.
I did watch some.
But clearly he separated himself there, which was a telling point. And then, you know, he's carried that on to coming in the National Hockey League, and as his confidence is there, you're seeing those plays like you talk about, and he reads things so well. And I think our coaching staff, too, has dealt with a lot of the youth over the years, and they get a good feel for him, and he has a great trust in them as well. So I think it's just been a really good all around. And something, quite frankly, for our organization, we're building on a good core of young players, and it's fun to watch, and it's good to be on the positive side.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, Craig. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about more of your prospects. There's a few more guys in your system that are intriguing not only to us but to all your fan base. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more Hockey Prospect Radio on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio right after these important messages. Welcome back to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're talking with Craig Billington, the assistant general manager of the Colorado Avalanche, talking about some of the kids in their system. You know, I'm really curious, Biller, about a player that I get to watch out in the Western Hockey League a lot. I've talked to your Western scouts about him as well. And, you know, his nickname is Big Rig. And Troy Bork, he's not the biggest guy, but he's got energy, he's intelligent, he's feisty, he'll, like, block shots, take hits to make plays, go to the dirty areas, take a punch in the mouth. He's one of those role players where, you know, you got him in the third, but I wouldn't be surprised that he comes in and plays at an NHL level one day just because, you know, all the attributes I talked about, but I love his work ethic and his enthusiasm.
Yeah, and, you know, he wears the letter there in Prince George, and he's done a tremendous job. He's a high-character guy. You can't say enough about him. What you see is what you get, and gives it everything he's got every single night. Very consistent.
Would you think that this year something to prove for him would maybe be better playoff numbers? I'm looking at that and saying, he only had one opportunity, maybe get a little more experience with that.
Yeah, I mean they're on the outside looking in here a little bit. I'd love for him to see that for a number of reasons. Certainly, he's really done an admirable job up there for that franchise. Extremely loyal, and like I said, we'll see what happens over the next week here. But they're on the outside looking in right now. Maybe they can change that.
Craig, when you look at a guy like Troy Bork and you mention the loyalty he's had to that franchise that doesn't go to the playoffs very often, do you guys appreciate that from a standpoint that he could have demanded a trade or wanted out of there to go to a team that had a chance to maybe go to a championship or to a Memorial Cup, and he's just stuck with them because they made a commitment to him a long time ago and he's going to, you know, honor that commitment all the way through his junior career?
Yeah, I think it's admirable that, you know, when you go to a place as a player, you focus on being a player, and you're not the agent or GM. Certainly he's gone there, and that's what he's done. He's focused on being a player and let the rest take care of itself, and I think that is an important quality. A lot of times you get caught up, this situation, I want to be here. And there are times that does make sense. In this situation, I think Troy's done a great job of being able to manage and focus in on his game, and that's what he's continued to do. And that's why, he's very consistent in his approach of his game. He's not thinking about 5 or 10 other things on his mind, which would take away from his play.
Craig, in terms of him making that next step into the American Hockey League next year as a 20-year-old, in your mind, watching his game, is a matter of just him getting bigger, stronger, faster? Because he seems, as a forward and a young player, to have pretty consistent defensive habits of, you know, tracking guys coming back through the neutral zone and keeping his head on a swivel and, you know, active stick and trying to, you know, close the gap a little bit on players. Is that situation where he's going to have to face some bigger, nastier pro defensemen of just getting his body into man strength instead of a boy strength?
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, as he's played junior, and certainly that's what he's become accustomed to, and of course pro hockey is a different world, and being able to manage that strength. That doesn't mean, oh, I expect him to grow a foot or put on 50 pounds. But you're certainly going to have to cope and manage your against other players with that size and strength that exists in pro hockey. Let's face it, it's everywhere. It's in the National League. It's in the American League. And in order to have success, you have to individually find a way to manage that and offset the size and strength that you compete against.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're speaking with Craig Billington, Assistant General Manager of the Colorado Avalanche, talking about some of the prospects in their system. And, Craig, I want to talk about a defenseman of yours who I like personally because, one, I think he's a funny guy and he's honest, but he's got a lot of confidence in himself. And I thought his play in Saskatoon last year under some really trying circumstances, he had told me that, you know, they were down in the dumps, Saskatoon was not playing well, and we're going to, you know, pull up our bootstraps and we're going to get into the playoffs and we're going to go in the front door. And they pretty much, like, turned it around and made an incredible recovery, and that's Duncan Siemens. And how happy have you guys been with his progress being a rookie in Lake Erie, although he's only played 29 games this season?
I just watched him yesterday, so in terms of a fresh approach, I thought his game was solid. He's an above-average skater, as you know. And I think the thing that allows him to keep getting better is his attitude. He's very coachable and continues to be. A lot of times when you get players coming in, they've got some answers of their own that they figure are better than the ones being suggested. And that's not the case with Duncan. He's all ears and willing to work hard and be a good teammate and all the things it takes to be a good pro. And so in terms of his progress, I think sometimes there's an expectation, oh, you're a first-rounder, you should be here in the National League. But it doesn't work that way for most players. Most players take time. And specifically when we talk about goalies taking time, so do defensemen. And he's got, going back to the skating concept, above-average skating and with a high, strong coachability factor. So there's good positives with his progress this season.
Yeah, I like his leadership on the ice. I like his defensive play, too. I like his reach. And every once in a while, he's got that sneaky shot, but I don't think you're going to look for a lot of offense from him.
No, you're going to look for a shutdown role. And to your point, big, rangy guy
yep.
that can close on guys, make a good first pass and support. And plenty capable of doing that. And he's a good spot with Dean and Randy down there working with him. It's been positive.
Bill, one of the things I like about him as well is he's got a really nasty mean streak in him. Like, he's not fun to play with below the circles, in front of the net, you know, along the boards. He's going to make you pay to get the puck, and he's going to pound you all along the way, and he has no problems with dropping the gloves and defending teammates, or when it's necessary, a guy's taking liberty. See, he's perfectly okay with that, and actually he's pretty good at it, and he does it with a smile on his face. And you know, when you're a goaltender, you get to watch defensemen in front of you do that. How much does that help the rest of your team in terms of feeling comfortable knowing that there's a guy back there that they know they can depend on in all situations?
I think it's really big. I think, obviously, bring about the goalie being able to see pucks and knowing that, you know, someone's not running through them. But at the same time, being a teammate or playing against them, I think it's when forwards look at the board and they say, oh, that dunk, you know, I got him to face tonight. You want to create uncomfortable situations for opposition forwards. The more comfort they have, the more they'll look better. And so Duncan can provide that element and with good size, good range. And I think you're looking at a really good prototypical shutdown type D that is modern day, that can skate. And so with all those attributes in mind and trying to create that presence of opposition not being comfortable, he provides that.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're speaking with Craig Billington, Assistant General Manager of the Colorado Avalanche. And, Craig, we want to go back to one of your goaltenders. And as a guy that I got a chance to sit in with the San Jose Sharks during the draft meetings and listen to him talk, and Calvin Pickard. And Calvin, what I got away from that interview was he's so highly competitive. and he has great confidence in himself and his ability to work through problems. And he's, you know, he had basically said to the Sharks, if you don't end up drafting me, that's okay. But when I first play, I'm going to get a shutout. And then he sort of laughed at, he laughed, and they laughed, and then he looked at him, and there was that look like, no, it's really going to happen. How happy have you been with his progress? You know, last year he had a really good rookie season, and this year he's following up with a solid sophomore season as well.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it's so great. You know, I'm biased because young goalies and battling through situations, and you go back to his junior experience in Seattle where, I'm not saying this exact fact, but if he didn't see the most amount of shots of anyone in the history of the Western League, he'd be close to the top, and had to battle through that situation and did a really good job with it. And he's come in as a pro with it. He's very feisty, very competitive, wants to be an NHL goalie. So like I said, from all those standpoints, he's working at his game. And once again, these goalies, in my opinion, they take time. For him to be, he's in the right place, battling through and finding his way. You know, that rookie season, I thought he had a real good season last year. This year, he's building on that as well and finding his way. Once again, the mental side of it, I think, is challenging, and I think that's one of his strengths, too, because of his compete and never say no attitude.
Yeah, I think he takes up a decent amount of net. I like his post-to-post, his glove. He's also pretty aggressive on the angles, and he doesn't have a huge five hole. And really good one-on-one. I like when he's challenged one-on-one, he usually wins.
Yeah. So, no, like I said, I happened to catch that game yesterday of ours, and I thought he played really well in Hamilton as well. Followed up, he had a good game on the Friday night against Toronto. So, like I said, he's learning, and he continues to learn, but his internal parts are excellent.
When you're looking at a goaltender like Calvin, you know, is it easier for you to talk to him because obviously you were a former goaltender, and because I know young guys and want to get there as fast as they can, and is a matter of just you being able to say, don't worry, Calvin, it's a process, you know, be patient, you're going through it, you're doing a very good job, and it'll come if you keep working at the same level you're working at?
Yeah, it probably helps that I was a goalie. I think it also helps the history. You know, when you spend that much time in the rinks with them in their junior or amateur level, they build up a trust. And there's times where you got to tell them not necessarily what they want to hear,
mm-hmm.
but what they need to hear. And when they digest it and go, you know, why is he telling me that? It's 10 out of 10, I'm telling them that because I want him to succeed. I want that player to succeed. And I believe they'll succeed faster if we're honest and direct with them, and at the same time, supportive. So I think that relationship's important. And then on the second part, obviously, being a former goalie and having plenty of challenges myself as a young pro speaks of walking in one's moccasins and done that. So there's two sides to it that I think help with regards to relationship and trust between Calvin and I.
Yeah, right now he's at about 83 pro games, and I'm wondering, sometimes we hear in baseball they want pitchers to pitch X amount of innings or games. Do you have that for goalies? Do you want them to play 100 games or something before you even think about elevating a guy, or is there a number like that?
No, there's not. It's an interesting concept, though. Like, I do track baseball development, and you're right, they have those kind of categories. And,
mm-hmm.
and not that they're foolproof, they're not.
No.
But it is interesting, and we've looked at it for defensemen as well. And, you know, it's Alan Heppel, who I work with closely on the amateur front, studies that a fair bit. And he always reminds me about defensemen or goalies or how long a lot of them take. And I don't have a definitive number, but certainly there's a benefit to the guys playing and having some exposure to the minor, because you want to perfect your trade the best you can. And as we look at goalies, you're talking about a position that really, there's so little margin for error in these one-goal games you're seeing.
Right.
And shootout games and points and the whole process of being a goalie, that it takes, you know, some time to get as, I don't want to say perfect, because you're never going to be perfect, but closer to perfection so that you're performing well at the NHL level, because there's so little margin for error here.
Craig, how much of analytics do you guys end up using to help in terms of the player development process and looking at other leagues and saying, well, maybe we can incorporate some of that. Doesn't all apply to hockey, but maybe some of it does.
I'll be the first to say I'm not really interested in other sports from a fan standpoint. I'm very intrigued and passionate about development. And I don't want to give out the farm. Everyone's doing development. Heck, teams have 2-3 guys in development now. When I started, there might have been 3 teams talking about it. The reality is it is important. And maybe coming from background where my parents were, you know, there were 2 teachers, the ability to learn and process and develop. And then there's the maturation of the growth of that person that comes so is so important to it. So when you look, I think other sports, to think hockey's got it all figured out is wrong. To think baseball's got it all figured out is wrong. And we're not baseball. At the same token, you can learn from others and take different pieces and apply them to our game and continually be challenged. Even when you look at the individual player, our game's a great game. And our players are exposed to different things than, let's say, when we play. And how does that affect them? I mean, we can merely just talk about the Internet. There was no Internet when I played. Heck, we barely had cell phones, right? And I know I sound old.
But they had Zambonis, right?
Yeah, Zambonis, okay. But they were peg nets, right? I mean, they were pegs.
They were.
You know, so I think you've got to take all of that in, and I think that's why I'm so, as much as I've had many different roles and I love the game, I'll always be really passionate about development. It's ever-changing and challenging, and no one individual is the same.
Well, Biller, we want to thank you very much for coming on our show. We always appreciate your great insight, and we look forward to seeing you at the rink, and good luck the rest of the way and into the playoffs.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
That's Craig Billington, Assistant General Manager of the Colorado Avalanche. Russ and I are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about more prospects right after these messages.